Lord Jesus Christ, we gather here in your name as people who recognize our need for you. We are incapable on our own of rescuing ourselves or even living a life of any significance. So we humble ourselves, we bow before you, our mighty King, and we invite you to pour your grace and your mercy upon us this morning, to reach down and grab us and lift us up, and then empower us to turn around and grab someone else's arm as we're being pulled up together by you. We ask that as we open your word, you'd speak to us through it, that your word would be alive, that it'd be active, that it'd be sharp, that would be healing and restorative, that it would be transformational in our lives. And Lord, today we are so appreciative of the privilege of prayer. Thank you that you invite us to be in communion with you, in dialogue with you, interacting with you. And we pray that today you would grow us in our prayer life, that you would help us to pray prayers that truly reach heaven, because they're prayers that actually start in heaven. And give us the ability, Lord, to sense you as we interact with you, that our prayers are not just bouncing off of ceilings and walls, but our prayers are resounding in the very throne room, in the very holy of holies, and that they're the things which you are empowering and using then to be thrown back upon the earth to accomplish your will and extend your kingdom. We ask all this for your glory, Jesus, and we know that in this realm we're in a battle still, so in your name and in your authority, we exert authority over the natural and even the demonic, and we silence the oppressors, we silence the harassers, we silence those who bring temptation, and we create now, for the glory of God, a time of encountering our living, reigning Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I invite you to turn with me in your scriptures to what we call the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6 is where we find it. Also, it's in Luke. But in Matthew chapter 6, we have Jesus doing some teaching. It's a Sermon on the Mount it's referred to. A number of different topics are being addressed. And in the middle of trying to help people understand what real spirituality is, what it really means to be a God follower, what it really means to be a person transformed by the saving power of God, in the middle of that, he addresses prayer. He had corrected some misunderstandings about prayer and how it's just something that you do to be seen and something you do repetitiously and something you do to try to force God's hand. And he gives us this very simple prayer. And I wonder if you've ever prayed it without thinking. Just a few minutes ago, I caught myself mouthing words and not having any cognition about what I was mouthing as we were singing songs. Because my mind was about what I was going to say once I got up here. I was singing, but I was not worshiping. And just as it's possible to go through the motion of singing without worshiping, so it's possible to go through the motion of saying words that sound like a prayer, but we're really not praying because we're not connecting with God. We're not dialoguing with God. We're not focused on God. Jesus wants us to grow in our prayer life. One of the things I've learned is people get kind of sensitive if you try to point out how maybe they're praying wrong. I'm not saying that to any of you. I'm not saying that. But look at what Jesus has to say about prayer. And maybe there's some aspects of prayer that Jesus is inviting you to grow in. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This very simple prayer is an apostolic prayer. That word apostolic means that it is something that creates something and establishes something. An apostle was a person appointed by Christ to go and start ministry, to establish ministry. So when we use the word apostolic, it means something that's like an apostle in that it creates and it starts, it launches. As you pray the Lord's Prayer, you are creating the will of God on earth. Did you memorize it as a youngster? Did it become kind of something stale and lifeless? Has it been a while since you've enjoyed the beauty of it? I invite you this summer to pray the Lord's Prayer, to use it to help you pray the will of Christ and to grow close to Christ. In fact, let's pray it right now. Would you join me in praying the Lord's Prayer? Let's pause long enough to redirect our thoughts. Let's, in our minds, invite Christ to sanctify our imagination right now. Let's picture the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, in that throne room, surrounded by angels and beings and elders and multitude. With that context in mind, let's pray out loud together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily needs. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to use an outline that Fred Hartley and other leaders of the College of Prayer use, some terms to help us recognize seven stages in this prayer. The first one we're going to look at is called relationship. And I believe that the Lord's Prayer really is sequential. Sequential. I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of times running into God's presence and saying, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But if you see, give me my daily bread, that's okay. It's in the middle, but it's in the middle. It's not in the beginning. I really hate it when my kids would run into my presence and say, give me, give me, give me, and not even say hello. Well, we want to have a similar respect for God. We enter His presence, recognizing, first of all, relationship. Relationship. Jesus taught this prayer, and it was transformational. It was revolutionary. They hadn't heard how to pray this way before. Jesus says, don't say, oh, thou great and mighty King, somewhere away distant from me. He said, pray, Father. Pray, Abba. Pray, Daddy. Pray to the one who has a relationship with you, the one who has claimed you as his own, the one who has adopted you, who now has made you his son or his daughter. You're praying to the one that is connected to you and you are connected to. We're praying out of relationship. Everything changes when you pray out of relationship. And in that relationship, we appropriate, we receive the love of God. We pray to the one who loves us, the one who cares for us, the one who has affection for us, the one who values us, the one who smiles when we come into his presence. My dad is 86 or something like that now and doesn't see real well. And he's living on his own now for 3 years and he's lonely. I call him up a half hour after my sister or somebody has been at his house for the weekend to visit and ask how he's doing. He says, "Wow, I'm so lonely." This winter, his good buddy next door went off to Arizona for the winter. But my nephew and his wife and his three kids moved into that house while they were building a new house. So for 3 months of the winter or longer, he had great grandkids next door. What are their ages? 1, 3, 5, something like that. They would just come running across in the middle of winter, sometimes without any shoes on, knock on his door and say, "Papa, can we watch cartoons with you?" My dad watched more cartoons this winter than I think he has in his whole life. He loved it when they came and pounded on his door and would sit on his lap and watch Tom and Jerry. He enjoyed that time. And just a few weeks ago, the neighbors returned from Arizona, so my nephew and family, they moved out, and their house isn't quite done, so they're living in a trailer house while they're continuing to finish up their house. My dad misses those little great-grandkids coming over and sitting on his lap. The picture of a great-grandchild sitting on an elderly papa's lap is what you can have when you go to prayer. Your heavenly Father loves you, adores you, desires you. You're not bothering him. You're bringing him joy as you enter into his presence. You're putting a smile on his face as you say, "Father, Father." And so you are invited to go into prayer, every prayer, with that first stage of recognizing relationship. You are praying to the one in heaven who adores you and loves you. So celebrate that. Celebrate being his son or his daughter. Every prayer you could say, "Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for making me your child. Thank you for loving me." You pray differently after affirming and restating and declaring the love of God. Personal revival. National revival. Worldwide revival will only happen as a new appropriation of the love of God is received. Look for, long for, search for the love of God. Begin every prayer with the love of God, recognizing your relationship with Him. The second step is worship. We say, "Hallowed be your name." The term hallowed means to make something revered, reverenced, honored. You're worshiping God, and specifically, hallowed be your name. There is power in the name of Jesus. I jokingly told my wife that she needed to get all the words right this song because I was going to make her stand up and sing it in the middle of the sermon. But the camera wouldn't capture you, so I guess you're off the hook. But there's an old song, "In the name of Jesus." In the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. And I honestly don't remember all the words either, but what a truth. The name of Jesus sets the demons running. The name of Jesus lifts off the oppression. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if things are pressing down on you, start by worshiping and declaring the name of Jesus. Here's a statement for us as a congregation in our worship life. Real, powerful worship declares the name of Jesus. There's lots of good songs that speak lots of truth, but if we want to break strongholds, if we want to break chains, if we want to set people free, if we want to lift off oppression, we want to be declaring the name of Jesus. Hallowed be thy name, Lord Jesus. So we start with relationship. We move then into worship. And in that worship, we're breaking things. We're setting things free. We're restoring things. Declaring the name of Jesus. There's a lot of names for God in the Bible. Because God is so profound, our simple minds have a hard time grasping His greatness. So it's of great value to you to learn the names of Jesus. And I've seen situations, I've seen people go through stages where they just have a long list of names and read them and declare them, and there's power in that. But let me encourage you to do one more thing. Ask God to reveal to you the name that He has that's for you in your current situation. He's the healer. He's the redeemer. He's the restorer. He's the infiller. He's the elder brother. He's all these things. But when you're going through something, you need to see that aspect of Christ, that aspect of God, that's particular for that situation. And so you can ask God for revelation. That's where God brings to mind His truth. So ask God, say, God, what is it about You, Your character, which of Your titles, which of Your names do I most need to hang on to and declare in this situation I'm going through? And then read. And then listen. And then spend time meditating on God's Word and His truths. And God will bring that to mind. And if it doesn't seem like it's the right one, keep searching and keep looking. But declare the name of Christ as you pray. We celebrate relationship, our Father, and then we worship. Specifically, we use His name to worship, to honor Him, to revere Him. And in so doing, we break things off, we set things free. In a way, it's like we're lifting off the ceiling. Worship lifts off the ceiling and creates an open channel into the very Holy of Holies, into heaven itself. So worship. Notice as we pray in relationship and then in worship, we haven't got to the gimme, 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 gimme yet. But the gimme, gimme, gimme that might potentially come changes completely when you start with relationship and with worship. The third stage is celebrating His Lordship. It's when we pray, may Your kingdom come and may Your will be done. We're celebrating that God is in charge. He's the Lord. That means He's the boss. That means He's the ruler. That means He's the king. He's the one under whom we submit ourselves. When we pray, we want to get into this position before we ever get to bread or forgiveness or relationships with others. We need to get into a submissive position under His kingship, His lordship. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. I look at a situation and I think, oh, this is obviously what has to happen, God. You need to do these things for me and make me look good, make me look healthy, make me have lots of stuff and give me prestige and do all these things, God. That's what's in my mind. But what's in God's mind? To get to God's mind, we need to get on our knees under His rule. And we say, Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And then that becomes a declarative prayer. In fact, this whole prayer really is a declarative prayer. It's us declaring God's thoughts and God's will into our situation. But this one really emphasizes that. God's kingdom come. We submit to it and then we declare it. God's kingdom come into my community. God's kingdom come into our school. God's kingdom come into my field, into my place of work. God's kingdom come into my relationships. God's kingdom come into society and political debates, and God's kingdom come into these situations that seem to be out of control. You've prayed over a region. You can pray it over a country. God's kingdom come into that land. We're speaking God's kingdom. Now, what does that word mean? That's a lifelong journey of discerning it. That's why I encourage you to be people who continually soak yourself in the truths of Scripture. So as you read God's Word, you understand His kingdom. And it's kind of an upside-down kingdom. We started this study of the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus speaking the Beatitudes, the blessings. And He said the people who are blessed are not the strong and the powerful, the wealthy. They're the meek and the humble and the mourning. It's an upside-down kingdom. We want to declare that upside-down kingdom become reality in our experience. Pray the kingdom. When you pray, starting in this order, praying the Lord's Prayer sequentially, moving from celebrating your sonship or your daughtership as He is your Heavenly Father, declaring His name and worshiping Him, submitting to His kingdom and declaring His kingdom, then when you get to the middle of the prayer, then when you say, give me this day my daily bread and forgive me my debts or my trespasses or my sins, you pray those differently. If you start with those, you pray like a poor, orphan, beggar. Lord, please, I know You don't want to, but would You please do something for me? But if you go in the sequence, you get to this spot, and you go, well, Lord, I do have needs, but I know You know what my needs are. And in fact, I know that as my loving Father, You're meeting them even before I ask for them. So I come to this spot, and I say, Lord, give me my daily bread, and I know You are! Thank You for doing it. I trust you. I might be hungry right now, but I know you're going to meet my need. There's a confidence that comes in asking God for our daily bread when we've spent time celebrating relationship, worshiping his name, speaking forth his kingdom. Some have said that this stage of sonship or daughtership, where we're asking for our daily needs and asking for our daily forgiveness, is kind of like God is bringing in the groceries and taking out the garbage. He's bringing in sacks of fresh food as we have our manna, as we have our needs met, and he's carrying out the garbage can or the bags of refuse, the things that we no longer want. He's forgiving us. Once we've bowed before God, asked him to forgive us, the next crucial step is inviting God to enable us to forgive others. I must warn you, bitterness kills prayer. Bitterness kills worship. If someone has hurt you, that's kind of a silly if, isn't it? If someone has hurt you and you refuse to forgive, it's as if you are creating the steel dome around you so that your prayers don't seem like they're getting anywhere. Your bitterness causes your prayers to bounce back down upon you. It's bitterness, it's unforgiveness, it's holding on to grudges that kills your prayer life. Right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, he invites us to receive forgiveness and then extend forgiveness. It's when you recognize how much he's forgiven you that you can then turn around and forgive others for the little bit they've done against you. And yes, you've been sinned against. But God wants to forgive you and then empower you to forgive others. If your prayers don't seem to be being answered, do a little introspection. Invite the Holy Spirit to guide you through your relationships. Say, God, is there anyone that I haven't forgiven? Is there any bitterness I'm hanging on to? Is there any grudge that I'm still clinging to? Who do I need to forgive? Forgiveness is simply choosing to agree with God that he can handle the situation better than you can. So you say, God, I give this situation and this person to you. You deal with it. I'm not going to try to exact revenge anymore. And I'm going to let go of the emotional baggage that's been like acid eating away inside of me. I'm going to forgive by faith. And Lord, if the feelings don't come right away, please work on those over time so that eventually I can be released from the emotional heartache. Forgiveness is crucial for you to be effective in prayer. The sixth category for prayer, we call it leadership, but it could be called warship, the war room. It's when we do war. We ask God to lead us not into temptation. In other words, to give us daily victory over temptation, and then to deliver us from the evil one. In English, sometimes that word is written as evil, other times written as evil one. It's kind of personified evil. So many people believe it's referring to victory over Satan himself, but then all the evil that comes from him as well. We need Christ to lead us. He's our general in the war. He's our commander in the battle. And we do face battles. We need to be honest about that. Jesus in the Lord's Prayer prepares us for battle. It shouldn't surprise us that we have battles that we have to face and wars we need to wage. Christ told us right in the Lord's Prayer that those would come. So we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Give us victory over temptation, victory over sin, and then deliver us, rescue us, set us free from the evil one's attacks. We need victory over sin and Satan. We stand our ground against Satan because we are ruling in Christ's authority. And the last category is ownership. We recognize that Christ is king over everything. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever and ever. Now, it's probably true that that last phrase was added by the early church as they started utilizing the Lord's Prayer. And that doesn't discount its value. It probably was taken from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12, where King David was praying. And he said, "Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." And there are other examples that are close. But it serves as a great wrap-up to this Lord's Prayer. Let's pray it again. And as we do, let your mind do some spinning, some meditating, some recognition of God speaking with you as we pray. And then I encourage you all week long to be using the Lord's Prayer, the steps of it, to help you commune with your King. Let's pray. Join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.